ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
The Mighty Challenge. 25 questions, 5 categories. Answer question 25 to win. The categories tonight are category number 1, geography. Category number 2, gaming. Category number 3, movies. Category number 4, acid test. Category number 5, potluck. All right, geography, gaming, movies, acid test, potluck. Any of that appeal to you? I don't know, maybe not. Or who's going to kick us off tonight? John from Broadbeach. G'day, John. Evening.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad.
You
yeah, pretty good. How's your day been, right?
Yeah, I'm at work. I'm
actually,
I work in the mines.
Oh, do you?
I'm from Broadbeach, but I'm
at
work in the mines at the moment.
Were you in a coal mine?
Yeah, fly in, fly out.
Okay. Where do you fly into?
I fly out of Brisbane and into Moranbah.
Okay.
Central Queensland.
Okay. How long? Week on, a week off? What is it?
Yeah, 7 days on, 7 days off.
Okay.
I'm just doing night shift at the moment. So
okay. Oh, good stuff.
Time.
Yeah. So
I listen to your show a lot, so it's good.
Oh, thanks, John. Yeah. Well, people say to me, you know, like, yeah, but who's up at that hour? I said, what are you talking about? Australia is working at this hour. This is what goes on. The reason you can get up in the morning and turn the light on is because people were working all night.
That's true.
But
what I do.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, you'd be surprised at how many people realise that they think that everyone, after the late night news, everything switches off. No, it doesn't. No. All righty. What do you like here, John? Geography, gaming, movies, potluck, acid test.
Movies?
Yeah. Which 2026 animated movie features a character voiced by American basketballer Steph Curry?
He's got me there. I'll go Toy Story.
Not Toy Story, mate, no. All right. Hope the night goes well. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. See you later. Brian's on the road. G'day, Brian.
Hello.
Oh,
I didn't get up to get on that, sir.
I can put you back on hold and we can come back to you later if you like, Brian. Hey, Dave, can we just put Brian back on hold? We'll come back to you. He doesn't want to come on soon.
Well, the last time I rang the quiz was when Tony Delroy was on there about 25 years ago, so that's a little bit between dreams.
Gee, whiz, you got whiskers on it there, Brian. That's right. Did you do any good then?
I remember the question I got right.
Okay. Well, I suppose it has been.
Who was the manager of the Partridge Family? It was Reuben Kincaid, but anyway.
Oh, pretty tough question, actually. Yeah. Okay. Brian, if it was 25 years ago, it has been a long wait. So you have been waiting a long time to get back onto the challenge.
Especially to get it wrong.
Tony is alive and well, and so are we, and so is the Mighty Challenge. So, all right.
What's the question again?
We're in movies. Which 2026 animated movie features a character voiced by American basketballer Steph Curry?
Animated 2026.
Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, what's this year? I can't even think of that. Sorry, old mate already said Toy Story, didn't he? Something he was wrong, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's not Toy Story, no.
No, it's one of them. Probably maybe the Minion movie, but I can't think what it was called.
No worries. Have a good trip.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks for that.
Bye. Give us a call. Don't make it 25 years. 1-300-800-222. I do think that nightlife and the challenge, Mighty Challenge these days, has become one of the constants, you see, in Australian life. I better stay a bit longer, hey? 1-300-800-222. In October, I think it'll be 10. Will it be 10 years in October? I don't really count it. I think it is. I think it'll be 10 years. David from Barrel. Hello, David.
Good evening, Phil.
Question number 1. Movies. Which 2026 animated movie features a character voiced by American basketballer Steph Curry?
I saw it. It was funny. It's called GOAT.
Correct.
As in greatest of all time.
It is. Greatest of all time. Yeah. GOAT.
Very good movie. Highly recommend it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Oh, good. Question number two. Movies, but you can move, if you like. Acid test, potluck, gaming, geography, or stay in movies?
Geography, please.
Geography. Named for the body of water where it originates. What powerful ocean current carries warm water northeast across the Atlantic towards Europe?
And the start of the question was it's named after a lake that it's...
Named for the body of water where it originates.
A body of water.
What powerful ocean current carries warm water northeast across the Atlantic towards Europe?
Right. No, sorry, Phil, I'm out for
No worries, that's all right, David, thank you. 1-300-800-222 is the number. The Mighty Challenge blows the speakers out. Then we strain to hear contestants. Oh, so you've got a level issue. I'm sorry about that. Okay, we'll try and match it from this end. I watched GOAT yesterday. Good movie, says my texter. Phil, I was a shift worker in the Pilbara for many years as a train driver for Rio Tinto. Look forward to your show every night. I've retired to Perth now, but would love to give a shout out to all the boys at Emu Humpy, if I can, says Gus. On you, Gus. Thank you. Yes, there's a huge FIFO cohort out there that would be listening and have listened over the years, I'm sure. Mario from Lanier, I've got you. I'll come to you shortly. Braden from Wollongong. G'day, Braden.
G'day, mate. How are we?
Pretty good. Question number two, geography. Named for the body of water where it originates, what powerful ocean current carries warm water northeast across the Atlantic towards Europe?
That's a good question. Let's go the north.
We can't have help. No, let's not have help. Come on, let's play fair. We know the rules. You can't have brains trust or people helping for obvious reasons, so let's not do it. Mario from Lanier. Hello, Mario.
Good morning.
Morning. Question number two. Geography. Named for the body of water where it originates, what powerful ocean current carries warm water northeast across the Atlantic towards Europe?
The Gulf Stream.
Correct. The Gulf Stream. Yeah. Question number three. We're in geography. You can stay there or you could move to gaming, movies, potluck or acid test.
We'll stay in geography, please.
Staying in geography. Chile's Isla de Pascua is better known by what name in English?
Isla de Pascua.
Isla de Pascua. What?
I have no idea, but I'll say the Hill Passage.
Why not, Mario? It ought to be. It ought to be, but it ain't. See you,
I've got no idea.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. It ought to be, but it ain't. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Nat from Kallaroo. There are lines free, by the way. 1-300-800-222. You will get through. Nat, g'day.
Hello, Philip. Are my levels okay for your listener?
Can you please, yes, go to the knobs on your deck there and do something, Nat. That's right. I believe so. I believe they are. I hope our levels are coming through your lugs loud and clear. Question three. We're in geography. Chile's Isla de Pascua is better known by what name in English?
I've got nothing, Philip.
Nothing?
I'm going to say, what did you say? Isla de Pascua?
Isla de Pascua.
De Pascua. No, nothing. Thanks.
Fair enough. Thanks, Nat. Bye.
Bye.
See you later. Okie doke. On the text line, Marilyn in Albury's got the right answer. Adrian, correct. Yes. Joyce has got the right answer. Richard in Tokemwell had the Gulf Stream. John from Mitcham said the polar current. No, not the polar current. Yep. All right, 1-300-800-222. Lines are free if you want to grab one. Simon from Highbury. G'day, Simon.
Hey, Phil, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, yes. No, for the end of the week, not bad.
Yeah, it's a good time, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Although we do have fun. I mean, I do have fun, I must say. All right, question number three. We're in geography. Chile's Isla de Pascua is better known by what name in English?
Oh, what? Isla?
Isla. Isla. Isla de Pascua.
Island. I'm going to go Easter Island.
Correct.
Yay.
Very good. Yes. Isla Island de Pascua. Island of, yes, Easter Island.
Yeah, cool.
Off the coast of Chile. Well, it belongs to Chile.
It'd be a fascinating place to visit, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I suppose. No, I suppose it would be. It's apparently quite small, and it's miles from anywhere, Simon.
And when
you get there, there's only one thing to see, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, about 18 of the same thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
or something, yeah. But I think...
So I
think
wonder whether an afternoon... I'm just wondering whether an afternoon would be enough, that's all.
It probably would, I guess what you're saying. You know, you fly out there for 6 hours, you walk around for an hour and you're done.
And you stay in a massively expensive hotel where they say there are only two things on the menu and one of them we don't have.
Right. Okay. I think I'll just stay in Chile next time.
But I could be a bit ignorant, I mean, about this, because maybe it's more fascinating that. But having seen some remarkable docos of the statues, what are they called? They've got a name for them.
Rapa Nui, I think.
That's it.
Rapa Nui? Yeah.
Or is that the island? Is that the island?
Oh, no, I thought they were the heads. Maybe on that. I don't know.
Gee, we're straw heads of ignorance, both of us on this.
Stone heads, aren't
don't we? Employ us as guides on Easter Island, anyone. One of them doesn't really want to go and the other one doesn't know much. Hey, Simon, we're in geography. Yep. Do you want to stay here?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
You'll love this one. Which Central African country has a name that means prawns?
Prawns, Central Africa. Can you give me a hint? Is it like north or south?
Of course I can't give you a hint. What sort of question is that, Simon?
I know there's a country called Central African Republic, which is pretty lame for a name, but I'm not guessing that. I'm just pointing out. Prawns is a short word. I'm going to go Chad.
No, right, you're quite right. I'm glad you agree with. I'm glad you said that because I've often thought that if you sat down, you've got a beautiful new country. It's in a republic, and you're starting out on life and in the community of nations. You know, you'd give yourself something better than Central African Republic, would you? Like, what do people know if they drive to the centre? You might be there somewhere.
That's right.
Which does lead us to a question as to what is the most boring country name in the world, but that would be up there, wouldn't it?
Oh, look, it'd have to be.
Central African Republic. Hello?
Yeah, we describe what we are, not anything interesting, yeah.
I wonder whether anybody's got a more boring country name than Central African Republic. Anyway, we'll put it out there. Thank you, Simon.
Thanks, Phil.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Yes, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Paul from North Fitzroy. No, that's not correct. Okay. my text that says, stop being so rude about a country. You're arrogant. Okay. Ian from Warimba. Hello, Ian.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Is it Burundi? Burundi?
Which Central African country has a name that means prawns? No, it's not Burundi.
Burundi?
Not Burundi.
Burundi. Oh,
no.
Right, yeah. Always next week.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. See ya. No, it's not Burundi. No. What about Simon from Carradale? G'day, Simon.
Hi, how are you? No idea.
It's in Central Africa. It's got a name that means prawns.
Yabby?
the well-known city of Yabby. Why not? sadly not.
It's much more exciting than the Central African Republic.
That is. Why did they rename themselves Yabby? Exactly. That's more interesting than Central African Republic, isn't it?
First-time caller. Good job, guys.
Thanks, Simon.
Enjoy.
I mean, it's a bit like calling Australia the land down under, isn't it? Hang on, we are.
New Holland, you know.
Yeah, well, New Zealand's not that great either, is it really? New Zealand? What about, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah,
Thank you,
Sam.
Have
a good night, man.
See you, man. By 1-300-800-222. Those statues on Easter Island are called Moai. I think that's how you pronounce it. M-O-A-I. Moai. And they are a great mystery, and no one knows the story, because they're, you can see how they made them, because there's a quarry, and some in the quarry are just half built, half carved, half finished, so they can see where they came from and how they made them, but why? And where did all the people go? No one seems to know. But as I say, after having that for an afternoon, you can probably, you know, that would be it, I guess. Dan from Scarborough. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Phil.
Question four, geography. Which,
thanks for having us on the show.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. Which Central African country has a name that means prawns?
Is it Gabon?
Oh, it should be, shouldn't it? It does sound a bit like prawns, doesn't it?
Well, it does sound like prawns. That's what I thought of.
No, I agree. I agree. It does sound a bit like prawns, Gabon. Yeah, but it's not right. Anyway, it's going to help somebody else.
Well, thanks anyway, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Are there any other entries for boring country names? The Central African Republic is better known as Car. I don't think it is better known as Car. No, that's not correct. In fact, have we got? Oh, Alan. No, not Alan. Someone's saying Greenland is a more boring name. Yeah, probably. I guess so. Greenland, yes, probably. Chipper on King Island says eggs must be on the menu on Easter Island. Phil, you'd think. You'd certainly hope so, Chipper. I think everything on Easter Island would be frozen, surely. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Annette in Perth said all the New Zealanders have just got into shop on their way to the end after that comment. No, it's New Zealand. New Zealand is. I mean, I know why it's called New Zealand, but anyway. Pete in Sweden. Sweden's an okay name for a country. G'day, Pete.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. We're in geography. Which Central African country has a name that means prawns?
what have we ruled out?
It's not the CAR. It's not Burundi. It's not Gabon.
Cameroon.
Correct.
We'll have a go at that.
Correct. Very good, yes. Cameroon apparently means prawns. I have no idea. I mean, it's a good name. Cameroon's a terrific name. But I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Question five.
I guess they don't catch many prawns there.
You wouldn't think there'd be a lot of prawns caught in Cameroon, would there?
No idea.
Don't know. Maybe they're the biggest prawn farms in Africa. Question five, we're in geography. You can move if you like. Sticking with it? Okay. Based on the volume of water, what's the largest river in Germany?
The Rhine?
Correct. It's always a worry when you get a question like that. You think, well, you know, it's got to be the Rhine, but it's a trick question. No, it's based on the volume, the largest river in Germany is absolutely the Rhine. All right, question number six. There's one left in geography. Otherwise, it's gaming, movies, potluck, or acid test.
We'll stick with geography, thanks.
Which word completes the motto of the French Republic? Liberty, equality.
Prosperity?
Not prosperity. No. I bet you the French hope wish it was, but it's no. So thanks, mate. Thanks, Pete. No, I wish they. I'm sure they do. Wish it was liberty, equality, and an extra day off every second fortnight. But that's no. It's not the case. Phil from Bendigo. G'day, Phil.
G'day.
Question number six: geography. Which word completes the motto of the French Republic? Liberty, equality?
Fraternité.
Which translates as?
Fraternity.
Correct. Yes, liberté, égalité, fraternité.
Yep.
Fraternity, yes, liberty.
Now, Cameroon.
Yeah.
Camarones is the same word in Spanish. So it comes from the Latin, I guess.
Is the Spanish word... is the Spanish word for prawns...
Camarones.
Oh, it is too. It is camarones. It is. That's right. That is the Spanish word for prawn.
I didn't know that, but just by the name, I guessed it would have been that country. So, yeah, interesting.
What are they doing adopting that with the Spanish word in the middle of Africa?
Well, it could be Latin-based. So it might have been to do with Portugal as
well.
Oh,
the Portuguese. French. The French may be there.
French, for that matter.
What's the French word for a prawn? What's the French word for a prawn?
Je ne sais. I don't know.
Je ne sais. Je ne sais. Here we go. We better stop right now while we're ahead, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question seven. We're in. Well, that's it for geography. Yeah. So we can branch out to gaming, movies, potluck, acid test.
Well, certainly not gaming. Just potluck, I guess. That'll do.
Someone says crevette is French for prawn. Well, when you get into French food names, we're going to get really complicated really quickly, so we better give up. now, really bad names. Nat says, hard to disagree with Central African Republic. But what about Iceland? Greenland, yes, that's true. I would argue the United States of America is the worst. Yes, it's not. It's a bit of a dull name, I agree. With that. Question number seven. What are we doing? Movies, did you say?
Potluck.
Potluck. My apologies. Yeah. Potluck. Question number seven. Hamsters are weakest in which of the five senses?
Hamsters.
You know, obviously not many hamsters in your immediate acquaintance, Phil.
No, they're some sort of a rat or guinea pig, aren't they?
Hamsters are weakest in which of the five senses?
I'll have to have a guess about that. Probably a lot of those animals, I think, are weak with eyesight. I'll just say eyesight.
Correct, yes. Hamsters are the weakest in the sense of sight.
I think a few of those little rodenty things are similar, yeah.
You be careful and be polite, please, about the hamster. Well, he's not a little rodenty thing. He's a solid, hard-working hamster. He's on the wheel most days, putting in 5, 10, 15 hours a day sometimes, getting the thing going round and round and round. What do you mean, that little rodenty thing? How dare you, Phil?
Little smelly rodent thing.
Hey, steady. Question number eight. We're in potluck. If you like.
Potluck, yep, that's fine, yep.
From 1996 until now, it has been the convention for Australian Governors General to serve a term of how many years?
I know a fair bit about the old politics, but I don't really care much for governors and governor-general. It's a waste of money, but we have to have them for the Constitution.
Phil, you'll be taken away and put in chains.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Laissez majesté for you. Off with your head.
I'll just have to be quick. I think it's six. Let me just... I'll just say six, Phil.
Sorry, mate. Thank you. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Lines are free. Where are we? The African answer could also have been Gambia from Gumbas, which are also. That's true. Gumbas does mean prawns, doesn't it? Cameroon, the nation in West Africa, its name is taken from the anglicised form of the former name of the River Wouri, which was called by the Portuguese, the Rio das Camaros. Okay. river of prawns for the abundance that they found in its broad estuary. Camarose is from the Latin camarus, a crayfish prawn or a prawn. Thank you, Annette from the Gables. That's a very comprehensive answer. So we were. It's from the Latin, the old Latin root for the word for prawns, which is where Cameroon gets it. All righty, lines free. There are lines free if you want to grab one. Ian from Medlow Bath. Hello, Ian.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm up to question number 8. We're in potluck.
Yeah, what's this?
We're in potluck. From 1996 until now, it has been the convention for Australian Governors General to serve a term of how many years?
Yeah, I got a bit nervous about this because I had my gut feeling, which went to 8, and I'm going to stick with 8.
It's not 8. Yeah, no. No, thank you. It's not 8. I mean, some they have been reappointed, haven't they, sometimes? They get appointed by the government of the day, who advises them. Well, I think actually they're appointed by the sovereign, aren't they? In this case, it would be the king, who acts on advice. 1-300-800-222 is my number. Thanks, Andy. Yes, it is Portuguese. Jeff from Alice Springs has got the right answer. Donnie from Castledine has got the right answer. Phil, what about countries, speaking of boring country names, with inappropriate names such as Greenland, which is 80% covered in thick ice? That is true. That is true. Thank you, John from Shenton Park. Trevor from Croydon Park. G'day, Trev. Sorry, been waiting on there. Hello.
Oh, I'm fine. Well, a few things. Greenland was the original real estate trick.
Go on.
I'm waiting for Eric from Melbourne to correct me here, but yes. I think it was Leif Erikson, the son of Eric the Red. Eric the Red, if I'm correct, was the Viking who colonised Iceland.
Yeah.
And I think his son was Leif Erikson. And Leif set out to further knowledge once Greenland colony was established. The Iceland, colony established. Set out and found this great, huge, ice-covered mass. And he thought, well, I could go back. I could get prospective customers to pay me for a share in this new country I've discovered, which I shall call and promote as Greenland.
That's exactly right. That is exactly how Greenland got its name, Trevor, just showing that real estate shysters are not new.
Yeah. And United States of America is actually far from boring because it was in its own way a declaration. We ain't no colony no more.
The United States of America. Well, it's a misnomer, isn't it? Because they're united about anything much.
Oh, that is certainly correct. Yes. The fact.
All righty. Question number 8, Trev. We're in potluck. From 1996 until now, it has been the convention for Australian Governors General to serve a term of how many years?
I think it's 5.
Correct, it is. Yeah, it's 5 years is the convention.
One more little thing. Crevette.
The prawn?
It was one of those things, you heard like when the Normans and the Saxons saying things differently, like mouton was a sheep, and so when the Lord ate it, it was called, it became mutton, and birth for beef and cow, same thing. In the pre-pollution times, prawns were sort of a succulent dish, basically for the upper crust, but the locals knew the things and caught them and gave them as sort of feudal tributes to the lords to make a peace.
There
talk.
We go.
And the Anglo-Saxon ears hearing cravat misunderstood it as crayfish, which is why.
I see.
Which is why the thing that's no way a fish.
These things often have a way of sticking, don't they? It's a bit like the word kangaroo, which didn't they? Cook heard it and thought that's what they're referring to, but they weren't referring to that at all. Anyway, it's now a kangaroo.
Apparently, the story's been debunked. I was taught at school that the language of the people that's now about Rockhampton would talk it. He did say that the local people.
We better move on, Trev. Otherwise,
what's that critter called? And the story I heard was that kangaroo meant we don't understand.
We don't understand exactly.
But now, apparently, that is not true. Apparently, it's very simple. There is no story.
We should try and sort it out another time. Hey, Trev. Let's move on. Question number 9. We're in potluck. You can move on if you like.
Movies.
Back to the movies. Question number 9. 27 actors from the 1990 movie Goodfellas also appeared in which TV series that first screened between 1999 and 2007?
Would it be The Sopranos?
Correct, it was. It was The Sopranos. Good work. Question number 10.
Yeah, talk about typecasting.
Yeah. Ruby's texting me saying, what do you mean, what happened to all the people in Rapa Nui? They never went anywhere, and they still make up over half the population of Easter Island. Yeah, but I suppose I think that they don't know either. They don't know either how the statues or why the statues were made either. I think that's the story, isn't it? Anyway, question number 10. Staying with movies. In 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the United States?
Sorry, what was the year again?
In 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously hold the number one album and the number one film position in the US?
In 2001. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that I'm a few years too late, but I'll guess Barbara Streisand.
Not Barbara Streisand, Trev. No. Thank you. Anyway, appreciate it. Thank you, Trev from Croydon Park. Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Morning, Philip. How are you?
Morning. Oh, not bad, Sam. Yeah, no, pretty good. Tell me, in 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the United States?
I'll say Dolly Parton.
Not Dolly Parton.
No, okay.
No, sorry, Sam. I will play some Dolly Parton a bit later if I get a chance. Karen from Mullumbimby had The Sopranos. Jim in Campbelltown, that's not correct, no. Jane in Homebush, yes, also had The Sopranos. Frank from Richmond. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Hello, we're in movies. The line's free, by the way, everyone, 1-300-800-222. Give us a call, you will get straight through. Question number 10. In 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the US?
Marisa Gomez.
No. Not Selena. Was it Melissa Gomez or Selena Gomez? No. No Gomez. 1-300-800-222. Come on, who wants to have a crack at this? We're up to question 10. Movies. In 2001... which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the US? Ken's on the line. Ken, g'day. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, who are we after here?
Whitney Houston.
Not Whitney Houston. No. Sorry, Ken. Thank you. Bye-bye. Ken's an Australia Post driver. Good on you, Ken. Keep delivering parcels and letters and all that stuff. 1-300-800-222. There are lines free. We'll get straight through. Have we been scared off by the prawns and Cameroon or Easter Island? 1-300-800-222. In 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the US? We're up to question number 10. Bronya from Adelaide, no, that's not right. Jackie from Canubia, no, not correct. Lynn the Queenslander, not correct. Ah, Dan in Scarborough's got it. Dan in Scarborough has got it. Craig in Baghdad, in Tassie. G'day, Craig.
How you going?
Not bad. Question, you're going?
Yeah, would it be Madonna?
Oh, no, it's not Madonna. Yeah, no. Oh. Sorry, mate. Yeah, might have been, but no, it's not Madonna. A lot of people saying sure. No, it's not sure. It's not sure. Dan in Scarborough. In fact, is Dan in Scarborough the only one who's got it so far? Yes, I think so. David in Perth. G'day, David. Help us out. Hi, David.
Good. Good, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha. In 2001, which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the US?
Cher.
No, no, it's not Cher. I've already said that, so I'll give you another one.
Oh. No, I've got nothing. I thought it was Cher.
No worries. Thanks anyway, Dave. We'll move on. Jenny from Moonabell.
Hi, how you going?
Pretty good. Jen, who is it?
I reckon it might be Bette Midler.
Ah, it's not Bette Midler. No, sorry. Thanks, Jen. No, it's not Bette Midler. Frosty from Torquay. G'day, Frosty.
How are you, mate?
Are we stuck here? Which in 2001?
No, this I think is pretty easy. It's Whitney Houston.
No, it's not Whitney Houston.
Oh.
No, Frosty, it's not Whitney Houston. No, Joe from Walkeri.
Howdy, Phil. No, it's Joe from Wakeree.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
South Australia, yeah, yeah. Very famous part of the continent.
It's the most famous part of the continent, isn't it, Joe? Yeah.
Oh, in our book, Wakereans that live here, it is. My guess is Celine Dion.
No, not Celine Dion.
Okay, thanks,
Phil. Hey, Joe, just in terms of boring place names,
right?
I'm just wondering whether South Australia fits into this.
I don't think so, not with towns like Wakery. That's a wonderful.
That's true. Name. No, Wakery's true.
Yeah, you picked a bad bloke to pick on that one. No, boring place.
So, step outside, Phil. That's right.
I can't really think of any off the top of my head. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. See you, mate.
Okay, Phil.
Bye-bye. Funny times. 1-300-800-222. Shannon from Caboolture. Help us out here, Shannon. Question 10. In 2001... which singer and actress became the first woman to simultaneously have the number one album and film in the US?
I'm thinking it's someone that's, like, not great, but not... Oh, I think... I have a feeling it might be J-Lo, like Jennifer Lopez.
Correct. It is J-Lo. Jennifer Lopez. She had the album J-Lo and the wedding singer. Yes, all right. It was Jennifer Lopez. Well done, Shannon. Okay, question 11. We're in movies. You can move, if you like, to gaming or potluck or acid test, or you could stay here.
I think I'll stay movies. That sounds the best of what I can do. Let's see if I can do better than one.
Okay, question 11. Which film, directed by Rebel Wilson, has been mired in legal disputes since it was first shown in 2024?
Oh, boy. It's not because... Oh, no, that's asking you a question, isn't it? Because I have a feeling it's It's just, okay. Just ask the question, Shannon.
Which film directed by Rebel Wilson's been mired in legal disputes since it was first shown in 2024?
Because I was thinking it's the mushroom thing.
No. No, not the mushrooms, Shannon. Sorry, not the mushrooms. Ian from Dover in Tassie. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Phil. Good morning.
Morning. Question 11. Which film directed by Rebel Wilson's been mired in legal disputes since it was first shown in 2024?
I don't know, but I think I'll try Pitch Perfect 2.
Uh-huh. No, not Pitch Perfect 2. No, no. Thanks, thanks, mate. See you. Bye-bye. No, Jamie from Lismore. Hi, Jamie.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Which film directed by Rebel Wilson has been mired in legal disputes since it was first shown in 2024?
Absolute Love.
Not Absolute Love. Sorry, Jamie, no, not Absolute Love. Andrew and Smithton, do you know the answer to this? Hi, Ian. Oh, sorry, hi, Andrew.
G'day, sir, how are you?
Pretty good. Which film directed by Rebel Wilson has been mired in legal disputes since it was first shown in 2024?
The Deb.
The Deb is correct, yeah, the Deb. All right, question 12. Last one in movies, if you like.
What are the other options?
Gaming, potluck, acid test.
Acid test, boss.
Acid test. Used to measure acidity, what's the highest value on the pH scale?
I think it's 5.
Not 5, no. Sorry, Andrew, no, not 5, no. Glenn from Alexandria. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Phil.
Question number 12, used to measure acidity, what's the highest value on the pH scale?
I'm just throwing a number out. Some often it's 5.5, but I'm going to say 7.
No, not 7. Sorry, okay. Not 7. No, these numbers are not close. Kevin from Fig Tree. G'day, Kevin.
G'day.
Used to measure acidity, what's the highest value on the pH scale?
Is that 13?
Not 13, not 13. Trev from Surface Paradise. G'day, Trev.
Oh, yes, chemistry question.
Used to measure acidity, what's the highest value on the pH scale?
Look, I think if you have caustic soda on your skin, it burns, and yet it's not acidic. Is it something in the teens? Like, I think it. There's two thoughts. One is outrageous, the other is a guess. I'll go with my guess, 14.
14 is correct. Yes, 13 was nearly correct. 14 is the highest value on the pH scale for acids. But you're right, if you go the other way, they're alkaline, aren't they?
And alkalines and acids are both dangerous.
They are. Question 13, we're in acid test, but you could move anywhere else. Gaming, movies, potluck.
Gaming, movies, potluck. Let's go potluck. I'm an eclectic person.
Okay, question 13. What occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a decade?
Say again.
What occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a decade? We don't have riddles that often, do we?
No. You're not Gollum, are you? I just threw that out of my back pocket. Look,
What occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a decade?
Never in a decade. You can have a second in a decade, but you can't have you can't have the answer in a decade. I just can't think of anything. A speck.
Not a speck. Thank you, Trev. See you later. Not a speck. Kate from Blackheath. Hello, Kate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think it is a riddle, and I think the answer is M.
What occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a decade?
It's got to be that.
Your answer is?
M.
Correct. The letter M. Correct. The letter M occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, M-O-M-E-N-T, but never, of course, in a decade.
Can I just ask, was the answer 14 for the previous question?
Yes. The highest value on the pH scale is 14.
That's what I'll ring up for. Yeah. Okay.
Given your home chemistry lab there, Kate.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you knocking up at the moment, Kate?
Oh, just something in the lab you don't need to know.
No? New cleaning fluid?
Yeah, let's try some acid, see how long I last there.
Back to acids. Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Question 14. I've got this picture of you surrounded by foaming beakers, Kate.
That's something to think about. Yeah, okay.
Question 14. Which highly corrosive acid has the chemical formula HNO3?
I never did chemistry, but I'm thinking hydrochloric acid.
It's not hydrochloric.
Oh, all right.
Okay, thanks, Kate. Thanks, Kate. Not hydrochloric, no. Paul from Geelong. G'day, Paul.
Howdy, Phil.
Which highly corrosive acid has the chemical formula HNO3?
HN. Don't know.
No good? That's fair enough. Thanks, Paul. See you later. Don't know is a fine enough answer. Deb from Nambour. G'day, Deb.
Oh, g'day. How are you going?
Pretty good. Which highly corrosive acid has the chemical formula HNO3?
Okay. Look, acids. Not my hot strong point. Excuse me. I was ringing for the riddle. I'm just trying to think of acids. It would be citric. I could say a brand of black-coloured soft drink. That's pretty corrosive. nitric acid.
Nitric acid is correct.
Oh, shit. I'm getting a lottery ticket tomorrow then.
Nitric acid is correct. Question number 15, acid test, but you can move, if you like, to potluck, gaming or movies.
Movies, please.
Back to movies it is for question number 15. Lara's Theme is a famous piece of music from which 1965 movie?
Oh, my gosh. Can you hum a few bars for me?
No good?
No.
All right, Deb. Thanks anyway. Thank you anyway. Betty from Dapto will know this. G'day, Bet.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Pretty good, Betty, yeah. You've been getting a bit of rain down your way?
We had a bit of a shower, yes. We need a bit more, but...
Oh, okay.
We had 5 millimetres a couple of days ago, and I did ask Adrian if he checked the rain gauge later this afternoon, and he said no, but he said there was 3 or 4 in it overnight. So we're getting a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, you will know the answer to this. Lara's Theme is a famous piece of music from which 1965 movie?
I don't know that. I'm not much of a movie person.
I reckon you would know this, Betty.
I'm more for the radio. I should know it. Mm. I know that I should know it. But I'm more for the radio, but not that I get a lot. I was going to ask you, what was the answer to the acid?
Which one? Oh, which the HNO3 nitric acid.
Yes.
Nitric,
okay.
Mm. No, you don't know Lara's Theme, famous piece of music?
I'm sorry,
no, all right. I'd tell you to ask Fred, but he's been a bit down at the moment, I think.
Yes, he has been. And Adrian's no use either. He's asleep.
Time for you too, Bet. See ya.
Any chance of you coming down for my birthday?
We'll see if we can see what we can do, Bet.
David's coming, I think, on Saturday.
Oh, great. Okay. Betty, thanks, mate. See ya.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. 1-300-800-222. Cameron from South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, good morning, Philip.
You'll be good with this one. Lara's Theme, a famous piece of music from which 1965 movie?
Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, yes. here somewhere, my love. All right, Cameron, we've got gaming, potluck, acid test.
Gaming?
Gaming it is. What was the best-selling home video game... what was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
Console? Oh, just say Commodore.
Not Commodore. Not the Commodore, no. 1-300-800-222 is my number. Who's next up here? Andrew from Natalia. Natalia. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Bill. How are you going?
Pretty good. We've got 10 left here. This is question 16. What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
It's one or two. I'll go Nintendo.
Not Nintendo. Sorry, no. Not Nintendo. All right. What about Gail from Wollongong? Hi, Gail.
Good evening.
Good evening. Question 16 we're up to. What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
Go the Wii.
No.
All right.
Sorry, no, not correct. Matt from Reservoir, I'll come to you in 1 second, Matt. Matt, I'll come to you now. G'day, Matt.
Hi, Phil.
Any thoughts? What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
I know I'm not allowed to ask questions. Are we being overall brand or a specific model?
A specific one?
This should be my peak...
I'll put you on hold and we'll come back to you after the news.
The Mighty Challenge.
We've got 10 questions left here, up to question number 16. Matt from Reservoir was up on deck. G'day, Matt.
I tell you, Phil, it's Reservoir.
Depends where you live in Reservoir or whether you live in Reservoir. And you know full well, Matt, that it makes a difference.
It does. At least I'm not living in Depreston.
You said that, not me. Question number 16.
I was off there during the news. I am driving, but part of me forgot that I'd actually dialed in.
What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
I was umming and ahhing whether it was a Sega or a Nintendo, but I reckon it'd be the Nintendo 64.
Not the Nintendo 64. Da-dong! See you, Matt. Bye. 1-300-800-222. Tim in Deloraine. G'day, Tim.
Hello, g'day, Phil.
Well, what are we after?
Before I answer, with the acidity and alkalinity, the alkaline's 14 and the acid is below 7. I was wondering if you read it the other way.
I see. Sorry. Yes. What's the highest value on the pH scale? The highest value is 14. That's right. You're saying the most acidic is below 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Fine.
Yeah. Just
thank you. Clarifying that. Thank you.
But I have no idea for the answer, I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks, Tim. See ya. Okay. Bye-bye. This is why the Mighty Challenge is fun, because we learn things. Victor from Hectorville. Hello, Victor.
Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 16. What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
I think it was the Mega Drive. Sega Megatron.
No, not the Sega Megatron. No, it wasn't. Michael from Berrydale. G'day, Michael.
How are you this evening?
Not bad. What was the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
I think everyone was kind of onto it, but I'm not sure. But I know what I bought for my girlfriend's son, and it was the Super Nintendo.
No, it's not the Super Nintendo. We've had a few Nintendo answers. No. Ben in Launceston, who plays games all the time. G'day, Ben.
I do play games all the time. The rest of Tasmania's calling. Thought I might as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What's the best-selling home video game console of the 1990s?
It'd be the PlayStation.
Correct.
One,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took us a while to get there. The Sony PlayStation. Yes, the PlayStation.
Yeah.
All righty. Question 17. We're in gaming. Or
I'll stay there.
You're staying here? Okay. Yeah. In 2021, YouTuber MrBeast created a real-life version Of which Korean thriller TV series?
Squid Game.
Yes, Squid Game. How did that work out? How did that work out?
Well, no one died, which I think is a good thing.
I was going to say, because in the TV show, there's a fairly high mortality rate, I think you'd say.
Yeah. Almost everyone in the show, I think.
Well, let's not do a spoiler here, Ben, but if you've never seen Squid Game, it's a pretty compelling TV show, I must say.
Yes. I quite enjoyed it. I thought season two kind of fell off a bit, but...
I think the first series was by far the best. Yes, I agree with that.
It was fantastic.
I agree with that. The setup in the first series was really terrific. Yeah. All righty, question number 18. We're in gaming.
Yep.
Which handheld game console was first released by Nintendo in April 1989?
Game Boy?
Yes, Game Boy.
Yeah.
There was a time back then, so I remember this myself, with young kids, where it seemed everyone in the known universe had one of these things.
I've got one kicking around somewhere.
Does it still work?
Yeah, it still works. I don't know how, but it still works. And the only game I've got for it's Tetris.
Oh, really? What about Mario?
No. So it was my dad's. I don't know. I think he won a competition or something like that and got it. It came with Tetris and he never bought any other games for it. And then I played with it as a kid and I've just kind of held on to it.
When our daughters, because, you know, they had them, of course. I used to nick the kids. I was obsessed with Mario at one stage. I love that little guy bouncing along. Come on.
See, I grew up as a PlayStation kid mostly, so I was Crash Bandicoot and Spyro and those sort of classic characters. I'd never had any Nintendo things other than Tetris.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Years later, I got into Halo, but then it all got too hard and I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, Halo's a classic. They just remade the first game.
Oh, did they?
Re-released it, yeah. Oh, okay. And I kind of want to give it a go for nostalgia's sake. But
yeah. The first one, the one that I played, was fantastic. It was very...
It's me, Mario!
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Good on you, Mario. Question 19. We're in gaming.
Yeah, well, I'll stay there.
What is the title of the first book in the fantasy series A Song of Ice and Fire?
A Game of Thrones.
Correct. A Game of Thrones, yes.
Yes.
One left in...
Here's a question for you. I know how pedantic you are. Would you have given that to me if I just said Game of Thrones?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's A Game of Thrones. Actually, strictly speaking, it's A in... brackets, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I nothing.
Oh, sorry. Question 20. Question 20. Last one in gaming.
Yeah, I'll see if I can clear it.
In the 1980s, arcade game Joust, the player controls a knight riding what type of bird?
Okay. This is going to be a stab in the dark, so to speak.
Yeah, back in the 80s, hey? Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Do they even have games then?
Wasn't even thought of at that point. No.
Well, these days you wouldn't get thought of, Ben. Your parents would be too busy playing games.
Oh, Dad, maybe. He still plays PlayStation 4.
Oh, does he? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And Mum plays Candy Crush, I think.
This is what the world's come to, Ben.
Well, I'm just going to say crow.
Not a crow. No. That's not a crow. See you, Ben. See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Robert in Mossman. Hello, Robert.
Oh, hello. Sorry. I'm on the last video.
That's all right. In the 1980s arcade game Joust, the player controls a knight riding what type of bird?
Oh, for goodness sake, I rang up to tell you about Lara's theme, but
Goodness gracious me. Absolutely no idea.
But, all right. Fair enough. Thank you, Robert. Absolutely no idea is a completely valid answer. Charlie's in the truck. Sorry, Charlie, you've been waiting there. Hello.
No, all good, Phil, mate. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. In the 1980s arcade game Joust, the player controls a knight riding what type of bird?
Look, I do remember playing this back in the 80s. Great game. I can only describe it, and it sounds weird. It's an ostrich, but the ostrich you fly.
Correct. That's it, yes.
But the ostrich is flightless, so...
Yeah. It's an ostrich. Yes. That is correct.
Yes.
Question 21. That's it for gaming. So we've got... That's it for movie. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. We've got 3 in acid test, 2 in potluck.
Look, I rang up for acid test because I was going to say 14th alkaline, so it doesn't really fit. But anyway, I go potluck.
Potluck, okay. Potluck. In European handball, what is the maximum number of steps a player is allowed to take with the ball in their hands before they must pass or dribble it?
Take a stab. Because I know that they actually do run it, so it's not like netball, but where you can't. I'll say 3.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Where's that one? Did you pull that one out of somewhere? Okay.
Yeah, like I said, just took a stab.
3 is correct. Yes, in European handball, which is quite an exciting game. We don't play it in Australia much. Well, I'm sure it's played somewhere, but which I always think we'd be quite good at it, actually, Charlie, given all our netball and cricket and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Netball, cricket, rugby, because it's kind of like it's soccer, but with your hands, I suppose.
Yeah.
The way they throw it around, then you've got the goalie. Okay, it's water polo out of the pool.
That's fair enough. Well, actually, you know what it reminds me of, Charlie? You know that kid when you're at school years ago, there was a game called branding when you had a tennis ball which you soaked in water, and the aim was to chuck it hard onto the bare legs of another kid. And so you had to chase kids around, you know, hoping you could brand them. But that's a bit like that, isn't it?
You must have gone to a nice school. I was in southwestern Sydney. We stayed for the head.
Thank you, Charlie.
Well, hey, tell them how it is.
Question number 22. Must have gone to a nice school. Question number 22, potluck. That's where we are, but you can go to acid test if you like.
No, I'll go potluck again.
Which two words come next in a passage from the Gospel of Luke? Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician. Which two words come next?
And was that physician? Was the two words after
physician,
was it?
The two words come after physician, yes. Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician. Two words come next.
Oh. Heal me?
What did you say?
Heal me. Heal. Like.
Yeah, I've got heal. That's correct. What's the next word?
Heal.
We're floundering, Charlie.
Oh, are we ever?
See ya. See ya, Charlie. Bye-bye, Charlie. But you've helped someone. You've helped someone very well, I would have thought. Abe's in Bendigo. G'day, Abe.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Which two words come next in a passage from the Gospel of Luke? Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician.
I think it's heal thyself.
Heal thyself, yes. Heal thyself. All right, 3 to go. They're all in the acid test. Historically, an acid test was used to identify which precious metal?
Mercury?
Not mercury, no. Not mercury, sorry, no. Adam from Redland Bay. Hi, Adam.
How you are, mate?
Very well. Question 23. Acid test. Historically, an acid test was used to identify which precious metal?
Gold, silver, and platinum.
An acid test was used to identify which precious metal?
Oh, yeah. Not gold or silver?
Well, you got to tell me, you got to give me an answer. No, no good. All right, Adam, we'll move on. Mark in Adelaide. G'day, Mark.
How are you?
Pretty good. Historically, an acid test was used to identify which precious metal?
I would say gold.
Correct, yeah. It was. An acid test was used to identify gold. All right, we've got two left. Acid test. The medicinal acetyl salicyclic acid is better known by what trademarked name?
Acetylene?
Not acetylene, no. Sorry, no, not acetylene. Dan in Adelaide. G'day, Dan.
G'day.
The medicinal acetyl salicylic acid is better known by what trademarked name?
I do not know. I'll take a guess at paracetamol.
Not paracetamol, mate, no. Not paracetamol, no. Charlie in Mount Druitt. G'day, Charlie.
G'day, mate. When you were talking to the other Charlie, I thought, hold on, I'm not in a truck.
Never been in a truck in your life, Charlie. That's right.
Well, I have been, but not driving. The other thing was, what was it, what you were saying? I'll think of it soon. So this one, say it again, please.
The medicinal acetyl salicylic acid is better known by what trademark name? Or acetyl salicyclic acid?
Oh, geez.
No good?
Panadol.
No, not Panadol. Sorry, mate. No, not Panadol. Ray from Hamilton in Perth. G'day, Ray.
Hi, how you going, man?
Pretty good. The medicinal acetyl salicyclic acid is better known by what trademarked name?
BHA.
No, not EHA. No. It's not. No, Joe, I'll come to you shortly. Lisa in Brisbane. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
What are we after here? The medicinal acetyl salicyclic acid is better known by what trademark name?
Aspirin.
Correct. It's aspirin. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. All righty. Well, that puts us right here. Lisa, question 25. And to win. We're in acid test. Okay?
Yes.
Question 25. Occurring naturally in some fruits. C6H8O7 is the chemical formula for which weak acid? Occurring naturally in some fruits. C6H8O7 is the chemical formula for which weak acid?
Acetic acid?
Not acetic acid. No. Oh, Lisa, sorry. No, that's disappointing. I agree. What about Boris in Glebe? G'day, Boris.
G'day, Phil.
Occurring naturally in some fruits. C6H8O7 is the chemical formula for which weak acid?
I'm 80% sure it's citric acid.
Correct, yes. Boris, why did you, were you going 80% on the chemist's notion of predictability there, are you, Boris?
I did a science degree in chemistry at Sydney University.
Oh, did you? Well, in that case, you're supposed to know. That's right.
And both my parents did chemistry at the university as well.
Oh, okay. So you're very good on all this.
Yes. I used to be.
Oh, did you never deployed chemistry in your working life, Boris?
No, I worked in the computer industry all my life.
Oh, okay. Oh, you must have been an early adopter.
Yes, I was. In 1964, the industry started in 1960 worldwide.
Yeah, I was going to say, 1964 and, you started. What? Wow.
Yes, and very few people in America or Britain or Australia have got more years of experience than me.
Than you, yeah. Gee, I remember a lot of them have died,
of course.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I was studying back in the early, back in the middle, early to middle 70s, there were blokes doing, because it seemed to be always blokes actually, who were studying computer science. But they went over to the lab, the computer lab, and you had to book time on a machine, and they came back with pages and pages of these.
And it was batch processing, just one run per day.
That's it.
Put in punch cards into a bureau, and you got the results back at 9 o'clock on your desk the next morning.
That's right. They used to go in great excitement when they had their go. You know, they had the go at it, and they'd come back with this great big wad of paper.
Yeah, which impressive volumes of paper sometimes.
But there were no screens.
No disc files either. It's all magnetic tapes for the first 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all thought it was just weird and a bit boring, Boris, because it didn't seem to be. Anyway, how wrong were we, eh?
But there was a lot of computing going on right from 1960 in Australia and in Britain and America, a lot, you know. It went off with a bang.
Where were the computers, though, in universities?
Oh, well, all the Australian government departments bought a whole lot.
Like the tax office and stuff bought them.
Yeah, the Bureau of Census and Statistics, they bought 6 gigantic control data mainframes. Department of Tax, Health bought a whole stack of them, and so on. It was big money. And IBM had 80% of the market in every country in the world except Australia. In Australia, they only had 40%, and the reason was all the big manufacturers used Australia as a testing ground for new software, and let Australian people clean up the bugs, and then they'd release it to the important customers in Europe and USA.
You know, when you use a phrase. Mainframe, Boris.
Yeah, yes.
They're old-fashioned computers now, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
What does it actually mean, anyway?
Well, it's just a big, powerful central computer.
Just one big box.
There's no terminals until about 1975.
Yeah.
Which just magnetic tapes and to hold all the master files, and the input was punch cards. Sometimes it was. The big British, there was 7 American companies called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Snow White was IBM and 7 smaller companies. And 1 British company called Leo Computers.
Mm.
And they had the best mainframe in the world for 15 years, from 1960 to 1975.
So this wins the best mainframe because was the best design, had the best components and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Oh, yes, brilliant. It had beautiful... integration of hardware and software. It was designed by Professor Maurice Wilks from Cambridge University.
Yeah.
And all the people who worked on the Leo loved it. We've got a Leo Computer Society.
Wow.
And we're all very fond of the Leo 3.
Wow.
And it was way ahead of all the American computers for 15 years.
How about that? So
Americans write the history, so, you know.
Yeah. And then along comes, when does it come in the early... late 1970s, the PC, when does that turn up?
Yeah, 1981.
Right.
1981, IBM released the PC, but for 5 years beforehand, 3 companies, they were called microcomputers.
Yeah.
IBM was very good at marketing, and so they invented the term PC. It was totally unheard of, and it's brilliant marketing, PC. And but that's 5 years beforehand, there was the Apple II, the Commodore 64 and the Tandy TRS-80, and they were called microcomputers for 5 years, from 1977 to 81.
Yeah.
They were called microcomputers.
Wow, this is tell me, this is a great part of history interview, Boris, of World of Computing.
I lectured in computer science for a couple of years.
Okay, too. It was all about. That's right. It was all for experts at that stage. Along comes the PC, and then along comes Bill Gates, doesn't he? And he figures out a way in which ordinary people could actually use these things.
Oh they started off with, when terminals came along, they were black screens with green letters on them.
That's right. Yeah.
They were in a star configuration with a mainframe of the hub, you know.
Yeah.
And there was no networks. And then networks were a brand new concept, but sit in between the mainframe and the terminals the user used.
Mm.
And
it took about 5 or 10 years for good networking software to evolve. Novell was a terrific, Novell network software was very important in creating what we call open networks, where before open networks, all the big manufacturers, IBM, Burroughs and so on, used to chain you, deliberately chain you to their hardware. So it was very expensive to change.
Yep.
But open systems meant their power was smashed and it needed good networking software, and Novell was the breakthrough.
How about that? Gee, it's been I love this because this entire history, isn't it? This entire history, yeah. It's not like motor cars. This entire history has been in our lifetime.
That's right. Yeah. And a key event occurred in 1993. For the 10 years leading up to 1993, people had seen the growth of networks. And PCs are pretty expensive, you know, to have it on. But 1993, they were cheap enough that every clerk, every low-level person in the company had a computer screen on their desk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was in 1993. I remember a site I was working on, a National Rail Corporation at Parramatta.
Mm. Wow, just a terrific. That's great, Boris. Good on you.
And Australia has always done a lot of pioneering. We've always been done a lot of world firsts in Australia.
Yeah. Good on you, Boris. Well, we should do a show about this one. No, I'll put you on hold and get some details from you.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk for hours on it.
Yeah, I can tell. Good on you, Boris.
Yeah. See ya. Nice talking to you, Phil.
Yeah, no, likewise. You too. Thanks for that. That was very interesting. Boris from Glebe, he's the winner of the magnet tonight, also with a very interesting story.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.